Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail. Hey everyone, it's Angela back here on the Buyer's Desk, and I am so excited to be joined by my colleagues and friends today, Pat Sheridan, CEO of Infra, and Sarah Super, wellness strategist at Infra. They're on the program today to give us a rundown of our new exclusive brand, The Good Collective. I actually gave them a little bit of homework coming into this episode. I asked them both to come prepared with a little bit of an elevator pitch. So without further ado, Pat Sheridan, elevator pitch, The Good Collective. Let's hear it.
Thank you, Angela. It's a cold open, so I'm going to go for it. The Good Collective is a brand created by and for independent natural retailers who believe good products should do good for people, for communities, and for the planet. It's values-driven, locally owned, and proof that cooperation can be a competitive advantage.
Very nice. Sarah, that might be a hard act to follow. You want to give us a little sense of your elevator pitch?
I was just going to say that's a very hard act to follow, but The Good Collective is more than just another brand. It's a powerful, exclusive opportunity for our members at Infra to differentiate your store with premium, wellness-focused products your customers can't find anywhere else, built on transparency, quality, and trust. This line gives you great margins, deeper customer loyalty, and a strong point of distinction in a competitive market. As a member, you'll get the advantage of offering something truly unique. The Good Collective is your exclusive edge in wellness and body care.
And that's why they call her Super.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, you guys touched on a few things together, but I think actually between those two elevator pitches, you get this great perspective. The Good Collective is an exclusive brand, and I hear you both use the word competitive. I think that's a pretty nice segue into telling me a little bit about the why.
Really, the whole why behind this brand is to give the members that differentiation and help them be competitive. Right now in the market, there are so many brands that are in online and a lot of the larger chains within the natural channel. We wanted to create a brand that has a core set of products that they can't get anywhere else, and also touching on some trends that are going to stick around for a while so they can stay ahead of the trends. I want them to have the advantage of some of these great trends before they're really big everywhere else.
Yeah, I agree. And I would say the why for me was I watched as the rest of the grocery world kept gaining on independence, especially Infra independence, as the numbers for private label just continued to grow. And I just sat back and said, we have to do something to help our members. And a lot of Infra members do have a store brand. Some of them execute very well with it because they're large enough. They might be a multi-store operation, or they're smaller, but they're really good at branding themselves. And they might be have a small market in their community and they do well with it, but nothing like what's happening in the grocery world. You know, the data says by 2030, over 30% of all groceries and CPG products will be private label. And so if you look at the Infra community as a whole, that means the number should be arguably $1 billion worth of the products they're selling, and they can't do it on their own. And so a couple of years ago, and actually probably 4 years now, I started talking to Sarah Super about my idea. And then a couple of years ago, asked her to join the Infra team. And I said, we're going to start in wellness. And I think some folks have seen out on social media and on LinkedIn, it was less than a year from start to launch, we developed this brand. And we're starting in vitamins and supplements. We're moving quickly into hair and body care and protein. And then next year, who knows where we're going to go?
Pat, you touched on private label. And I guess I wanted to add also that even if you have private label in your stores, this is just another way to differentiate yourself. You know, private label is generally a little bit more price savvy, a little bit more economical. This brand is also going to have some of those traits as far as being affordable, but also premium as well. So even if you have private label, it's just another way to differentiate yourself. And for some of our stores, they haven't wanted to carry private label yet because they haven't wanted to do the work to vet out truly what is a good fit for their store. So this is just another way for them to feel confident that we've done the work to make sure that the brand has values and quality and all the things that are important to our members.
Yeah, I think one of the key points that you both are touching on is that either a private label or an exclusive brand is a driver for a store. A private label might be something that would be more encompassing in the store's marketing, but the power that Infra can bring to this exclusive brand is the ability to market cooperatively and create just like another layer of driver. I guess I never really saw that being totally contradictory. Are you hearing members say, well, I have my own private label, so I don't want to do this?
I haven't necessarily heard that. There's been a couple of members that have been concerned that they have supplements in the private label space, and that's easily explained. And once they hear the reasoning behind how important it is to have just another layer of differentiation, usually right away, they're just totally on board.
Tell me a little bit about the name Good Collective and why that name and what we want a consumer to feel when they are reading it.
Well, we spent a lot of time coming up with the name. We hired a great branding firm, Sarah and I, a lot of people on the Infra team. We had members involved, and there were a lot of amazing names that came up. Matter of fact, so many that it was hard. It was really hard. But we spent time out in the marketplace looking at names, but we really came back to the values of Infra as a cooperative, or if you will, a collective. And the goal was to focus on what the product was and who we were. And so we really were steeped in Infra's vision, a vision of growing to 1,000 communities and how our members made those communities stronger, and how with this brand, we could help them create more strength in those communities and cycle that economy in those local communities. So the Good Collective could stand for, additionally, how do we keep money in those communities and support those communities? So they'll do it locally, the members in their communities, and then the Good Collective, the brand itself. We kept the profits out with our members, and some of the funding that we keep here at Infra, we're using to grow the brand, and the rest we'll use to contribute to support local communities.
Now, I heard you say we spent some time out in the marketplace, and I didn't want to get through this conversation without asking you about your consumer study. I feel like it would be awesome to tear up for our listeners just like a little overview of what a consumer study looks like and then what results the Good Collective has already gotten.
Well, I'm going to let Sarah do it because she was actually out there in the store during this. It was really exciting, but Sarah, I'll have you share.
It truly was exciting. We hired this amazing person who does consumer studies such as this, and she really set expectations like don't expect people to go right to the product in the aisle and just really what the norm is in this situation. And so just to kind of back up a little bit, the product is put on the shelf with all these other products that are already on the shelf. And they are like 15 different people walk down the aisle and they're supposed to speak to you on what they're seeing and what's exciting them and all those type of things. And so during this time, I was told that nobody will probably reach and grab the product or point it out. And we had about 11 out of 15 of the consumers grab it and say, what is this? And when we asked them how it made them feel, they said, we trust it. It's clean. It speaks to, you know, it spoke to them. And I think the word trust and transparency came up more than once in the conversation. So it was really exciting to see how the consumers gravitated right towards it. We watched their eyes go right there, very unprompted. So it went very, very well. It went like 100 times better than I could have ever expected it. So it really made us feel good about the packaging, the name, everything involved in the Good Collective was called out during that time.
I continue to just love that story. I love that she's level setting expectations, like don't expect, but then it just continued to happen. And I just remember reading that a little bit and hearing your feedback and thinking like, oh my gosh, like just the first time we did a thing like this and look at how fantastic. And, you know, I want to come back to that word trust. Because, you know, when I really think about driving people into the store and the way that we can continue to support our retail members, I think absolutely, like an exclusive brand makes perfect sense. This is a great driver, like come to these stores to get this thing. And then I think, well, we could have picked anything in the grocery aisle that didn't have like that trust component that they do, I think, more in the wellness aisle, right? You're thinking about this educated consumer, probably a label reader, definitely wants to trust a brand that they get a supplement from. Was there anything about coming into wellness first that you want people to know?
I guess I felt like, well, both of us, when we talked about it, that's where there was great opportunity, really, to be ahead of the trends, to ensure that all the core products were met. There's a lot going on in that space right now as far as it being very busy. A lot of movement with different brands that are entering some of the mass market and online, things of that nature. A lot of really great loyal brands that will always be important to us. But we really wanted to focus on a brand and products in that space that could be something that the members could always rely on and just watch grow. So I think there's just the beginning in supplements and body care. There's really a lot of opportunity outside of those categories as well, but we felt like that's where there was the most opportunity to start off with.
Yeah. And I'll say it was a very strategic choice. We started the conversations. I mean, we actually started the conversations at the beginning of the pandemic. The pandemic really multiplied the impact on wellness to retail, right, with online. And so as we were formulating this idea, it kept getting harder and harder for the retailers to sell and compete with online wellness. Even their normal everyday shopper would sign up for a subscription, right? And so it's the margins were eroding or sales were going away. And so we knew that was a good place to go. We went to our data partner Spins, and they shared with us a lot of great data around private label and exclusive brands and guided us toward a great opportunity. And we really said, this is where we're going to start. It was what would support our members most. And we're using that data and what our members are telling us to expand that area and then what areas we're going to go into next. So it was the perfect spot for us. It just actually became the more perfect spot, if you will, as time went on. And this just became the absolutely best time to do it.
Well, and with that, I'll add, we started talking about this space with the Good Collective, and in visiting with some of the members, they were all over it. In fact, I continue to get emails and with ideas on what categories they see holes and opportunities and gaps. So it's really exciting to see how much support and actually even help in guiding that strategy that the members are adding, as this is their stores. You know, we want to give them what they need. So we've been very aligned with the data and with what the members say their needs are. They've definitely it's matched the whole way.
I love that, because I think that there are probably some subcategories where the data looks like things aren't growing, and particularly in the wellness department, where it might just be, you know, out of stocks or there were some shifts in supply chain, et cetera. So I think bringing in the member voice and having that complement a data-driven strategy makes total sense. But I love that to this point that has all aligned for you. Would you tell me a little bit more about what the core set means? Like what do we anticipate seeing on shelves next week?
So to start off with, the first 11 products consist of 5 multivitamins and 6 core vitamins and minerals. And so really that is a space that, you know, really addresses those basic needs. So really any exclusive brand really needs to start off with those core items. So we're really excited that we have the products that we do that are 100% certified organic. And they're just beautiful products, beautiful formulations, one a day. Really easy to take. So we think the members are going to be real excited with the success they see on their shelves.
Awesome. And then you already kind of teed up what the second tier launch would be. You want to give me a little bit more detail?
Sure. At the end of this month, members should start receiving 10 body and hair care SKUs consisting of hair, 3 different shampoos and conditioners, and then body washes and body lotions. Beautiful, beautiful products. And it's just the start in that category.
How do you balance that core consumer need and thinking about what is like what is trendy? And I really think about this a little bit. I know, Sarah, you and I have had a lot of conversations about TikTok trends and, you know, stores calling us and being like, do you have, I don't know, rice brand something for my hair because someone on TikTok told me to use it? So just like from an overarching strategic mindset, tell me about balancing core and trend.
So there's a lot of trends entering the space right now. I'll use magnesium for an example. It's a core product, right? It's a core category or item in a category. But right now we're seeing magnesium with so many different uses, sleep and stress and relaxation on all, you know, things of that nature. So that would be an example of a trend that really isn't going anywhere but up. You know, the more we find out about magnesium, the more we find out how beneficial it is. So I think that would be an example of a good balance of a trend that we could see more of in the Good Collective space if we were to go that route. There are some trends that might be really, I hate to use the word unstable, but we may not see them next year like we see them now. So we want to make sure that we are not entering the space of a trend that we put a lot of effort into that the members might not find as much value in a year from now. We want the trends that we vet out to have a lot of strategy behind them and really have a good understanding of where that trend is going. In fact, there's some products even in the space of women's health that have historically always been, you know, women's health. And now we're seeing some of those products like good for cognitive health as well. So when we think about those different uses and different conditions that these items that we're benefiting from, that's an example of a trend that we really want to get behind and make sure that we are paying attention for the members.
Yeah, I think Sarah says it very well. You know, we're going into wellness, and so the trends have to be about people's health, right? And so when I think about what I hear from members and what I see in members' stores and what we see on our members-only area in the communities, right? Members try to respond to TikTok trends because their customers come in and they really ask. And I'll use the most common food example this year was Dubai chocolate, right? And some of our member stores, you know, they have a young enough staff who says, and buyers who says, I know how to do this. And they might go out on fair and be able to buy it and bring it in. And then the clever members say, hey, there's somebody here on staff because they have a good food service operation and they know how to make it at home. So that they get the ingredients and they say, hey, customer, you can make it at home and here's the ingredients, right? But we can't really get there behind that kind of trend because by the time we got a product to market, the trend would be over. And so Dubai style chocolate was for a small bar was $20 or $29. And now you can go out and find it for $6.99, right? And by the time we got to the shelf with a $30 hair product or a $60 hair product, it would be a third of the price. And so Sarah instead is going to find partners for us or has found partners for us who understand the health trends or the skincare trends or the hair care trends, and they understand actually the ingredients that make a difference. And so that's where we'll be ahead of the trends or at least with them, and we can launch products along with what's happening out there on social media, if you will.
No, that makes perfect sense. I appreciated both of your perspectives on that. All right, you guys, when I asked you to be on the podcast today to talk to me about the Good Collective launch, what did you want to talk about that I did not get around to asking you?
I would just like to comment that I have really enjoyed getting to know the members more and what their needs are. In the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of spending a lot of time in infra stores or talking to them over the phone or whatnot, just on what their needs are. And when I visit their stores and they communicate with me where they see the needs in their wellness department, it's really been fun to be able to take that information and be able to put it towards the Good Collective information that we're working on. And in so many cases, it's worked out to where it's been a great, just really united our efforts in what we're doing, you know, because the need is what the need is, you know? So really going into the stores, for example, I mentioned women's products earlier. Women's is blowing up. And in a lot of the stores that I've been in, they've expressed with me that there's not enough women's products on the shelves for them to have that as a strong department. And in some cases, it was just helping them to find the right products. In other cases, it's me thinking, where is there a gap? Where is there an opportunity for us to support the members more? So I think I've really enjoyed being able to visit with the members and find out where these needs are and to be able to talk with them more about how important private label and exclusive brands are in their stores to help them to be different. So I'm just excited to see where this takes us and so much more to come.
Well, what I would like to say is, and I've said this to other audiences, combined with, and to your question about the why or the why now, also to add to that, I think one of the other considerations in why wellness was a couple of years ago, we launched an EDLP program in partnership with the Cadia brand, and that's food. And so we have something for our members that's relatively exclusive. Yes, there are other independents that carry the Cadia brand, but none of them can carry the program that we have for our members. It's exclusive for them. And so food we have managed, and that program will continue to grow even outside that relationship. And so wellness and those categories around wellness and some of the other categories will build under the Good Collective. And one of the important things to consider around all of these programs is that none of them impede our relationships with the brands out there. And as a matter of fact, they strengthen them. And they all draw more consumers into our member stores, and those consumers buy more products. And the way they do it is those consumers can afford to buy more because we save them money. And so what we're finding in stores is that the consumers come in and they say, oh, my basket is half full, but I still have budget left. And so they're still buying brands, or there's complementary brands. And so what we're really seeing is that these programs don't hurt our CPG partner relationships. They actually strengthen them.
Agreed. It strengthens categories to be able to have more strength in numbers, you know, if there's a good category that's doing well and there's only a couple of products in a category and another brand comes in with another competitive product, it just helps them be more visible, be more noticeable on the shelf instead of getting lost.
I think this is an awesome way to wrap up this conversation, just talking about really the way collective means partnership. So if that's a brand partnership, a consumer partnership, infra's partnership with all of our members, there are layers upon layers that just continue to be good. Now, Sarah Super, I saw you point at me. So if you have anything else you would like to add here, you are absolutely more than welcome to do so.
I just want to add how important it is for us at Infra to make sure that everybody is successful and has the right tools. And we have really got some great support on our team. The marketing team is just one example of creating great assets and tools to help this brand be very successful. From end cap signage to danglers to floor decals to posters. We've been creating education around the brand to make sure that the stores know how to sell the product. They know everything they need about the products to sell it. So I just really wanted to point out how awesome it is that we've had such incredible support internally as well. And we're here to help the members in any way we can to help make sure this brand is very successful.
Absolutely. That really just sort of harkens back to that same point about partnership and just support. And the fact that you both started this conversation reminding me that everybody needs a competitive advantage and a competitive edge, because it is tough out there and we are basically all in this together. So I really love that. I'm really excited. I'm actually just going to bookmark this by saying it is an October 2025 launch, as this podcast will be out here longer than me being like, oh yeah, next week. And I appreciate your time. I look forward to having a conversation in 2026 where we can talk about some amazing sales numbers, and maybe you'll be able to tease, you know, our third wave by that point. Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Angela.
Hi, I'm Rachel, Director of Sales Operations at Edna's Non-Alcoholic Cocktails. With Sober October in full swing and the holidays on the horizon, it's the perfect time, as we like to say, to put some class in your glass. At Edna's, we make ready-to-drink, alcohol-free cocktails that look and taste like the real thing, without the hangover or the questionable late-night texts. Whether you're taking a break, pacing yourself, or just want to enjoy the party with a clear head, Edna's has you covered. Our drinks are crafted with natural ingredients and layered flavors that actually taste like, well, cocktails. From a bright Paloma to a crisp mojito, each of our six flavors are mixed to perfection with spirit extracts and made to be shared. Or not, we don't judge. If you're into sharing though, we have a variety pack for that. So this season, raise a glass with Edna's. Find us at drinkednas.com or on Instagram at Edna's Cocktails. Here's to feeling good about what's in your glass and even better the next day.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.